Just a few thoughts I want to talk about this morning. As we honor our grads, as we worship Jesus, as we respond in gratitude for what God has done for us. When you graduate, it's one of those seasons of life where people give you a lot of advice, right? Like there's certain times of life, like you have a baby, you have a new job, you graduate, people give you a lot of advice. And sometimes that advice is really wanted. I see Doug and Susan Dubois back there. When Eli was a baby, and we were like struggling through like new parenting and not knowing what to do, like Susan always had the greatest advice at Tuesday morning women's Bible study. Katie would come home and she'd be like, "Oh, Susan suggested this." Be like, "Yes, that's great, you know." And Eli's alive now. Like, and the other kids, were it not for that, that's exciting. Like sometimes you recognize wisdom around you and you're like, "Oh, I want to drink up this advice." Other times, people want to offer you advice when you don't want it. You ever had that? I think this is another thing with parenting. Like you're at the grocery store and your kid is crying or something, and people come up, they're like, "Oh, have you tried?" I'm like, "Would you shut up?" You know, like like people are like, "Oh, well, you have to do this. Oh, it's this or that." And you're like, I don't want to hear this right now. Be quiet, you know? Sometimes we recognize times we need advice, and other times we just want to put our fingers in our ears because either the advice is bad or we don't really want to hear it. And so even though you graduates are probably getting a lot of advice and maybe too much right now, I'm going to give you more. So that's what we're talking about this morning. And I actually asked some of the people in the church to email me some of their best pieces of advice, and I'm going to share some of that with you right now. And so here's some of the stuff that we heard. A moment of patience and a moment of anger saves you 100 moments of regret. It's good advice, isn't it, right? How many of you guys have been there, right? Here's a good one. Don't eat yellow snow. It's not a snow cone, okay? Don't do that. This is a good one. Learning is way more important than knowing. If you are convinced you know something, you'll spend more time trying to be right than learning and growing. If you are convinced you want to continually learn, you will. Be learners. We should all be lifelong learners. This one. Yogi Berra says, "You can observe a lot just by watching." I mean, you could do a lot of just Yogi Berra quotes, right? There's another good one. Don't trust everything you read on the internet. As you know, Abraham Lincoln said that. And I always thought that was Ben Franklin, but it is actually Abraham Lincoln. So that's good. This one, major on the majors. Pick your battles and know you don't need to die on every hill. That's a good piece of advice, isn't it? To major on the majors. This is good. Be stubborn about your goals. Be flexible about your methods. Like us as a church, like our goals are to honor Jesus, to help people walk in step with him. That's what we're sometimes flexible about our methods. And that's a good way to think about life. Try new things and learn from your failures. There's no such thing as a failure, right? When you learn from it and move on, it's good advice. And this is also a really good one. Never take a sleeping pill and a laxative at the same time. If you're not sure why not, ask one of the people who's laughing, and they'll explain it to you later on, okay? But like I said, sometimes there's advice that's good and there's some advice that's bad. I want to share three things with not only our grads, but really all of us this morning that I think is advice that I need to heed myself, that I think we all can pay attention to and learn from and grow from. And this will be short, but three things. And the first is this: never enter a pool by the stairs. Never enter a pool by the stairs, because if you're going to get in the pool, just jump in, right? Like, there's no need for that. Just enter by jumping in. And when it comes to our faith in Jesus, I think this is helpful for us. Over and over again, the scriptures call us to love God with our whole hearts, our whole minds, our whole souls, our whole bodies. Deuteronomy 4:29, Moses says, "You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." And when it comes to our pursuit of Jesus and our relationship with him and being a person of God, God would invite us to not just go the safe route, not just to put a toe in at a time, but to go after him and to pursue him. And a lot of times we think about, you know, the gospel as this fire, that we want to stay close enough to kind of stay warm where it's nice and comfortable. But Jesus would invite us to, I mean, be changed forever by pursuing him and to jump in all the way and be transformed and changed. And the gospel is so grand that it does that, that he calls us to just jump in and to pursue him and allow him to lead us and to guide us. And, you know, could lead to things like spending the year after you graduate high school on the mission field, you know, or to inviting your friends to be a part of church with you, or radical generosity that upsets your life in some way. There's a lot of things that it looks like when we enter the pool, not by the stairs, but we jump in following Jesus. This one is don't follow your heart, guard it. And there's a lot of advice you hear. This is like, hey, follow your passions, right? You be you. Pursue whatever your heart is. You know, don't let anyone keep you from pursuing your passions. Well, the scriptures would tell us that, like, your heart is actually not the best guide. And in fact, we shouldn't follow our heart. We should allow God to lead it. And we should guard it. And Jesus says that for it is from within, for out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. That if we listen to our hearts, even though that sounds good on a Hallmark card or sounds good somewhere, it's not really that helpful, because our hearts are so broken and so messy. And so if we don't submit those to Jesus and ask him to guard them and to shape them and to shepherd them himself, then we will be in trouble. And so we don't just follow our heart. We direct our heart by submitting it to God, by being transformed by the renewing of our mind through repentance and love and spiritual discipline, and let God shape our hearts and to guard it and to protect it. And then let our passions be guided by him to serve him and to help us be deeper, better people. So submit your hearts to God. Let him shepherd it and shape it. Don't worry so much about following your heart, but guarding it, which is what it says in Proverbs. Above all, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Last one is this. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. That there's something about the gospel that's very comforting, isn't it? To know that God loves us, that he created us, that he has loved us so much that he went to the cross. Like, all of us should hear the news of Jesus loving us and God loving us and be incredibly comforted. But there's also elements to the gospel that are deeply unsettling and uncomfortable, and that God calls us to continue to grow and to be different and to be upset sometimes. I had lunch with Stephen Roger. You guys remember Stephen Roger? We had lunch on Friday, and we were talking about some of the difficult passages of the scriptures, and he said, you know what? If you read the Bible and it doesn't upset you in some way or disrupt you, you're not reading it closely enough. Like, and the journey towards Jesus is one of suffering, and it's one of discomfort, and one of challenge. I had a preaching professor tell us over and over again in seminary that good preaching comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. And doesn't Jesus do that? Like, he comforts and he invites people to take on his yoke, but then he also called them to a higher standard that is challenging and difficult. And a lot of times, like, we can have, you know, a lack of suffering and be our main goal in life, to be safe, to be taken care of, to be secure. And Jesus would call us to not seek and run from suffering, but to really run from sin and to turn from what would keep us from pursuing him wholeheartedly, and to expect and even welcome suffering. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, I will rejoice in my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And he rejoices in hardships and suffering, because good stuff can come out of that. And in 2 Corinthians, that book is about the God's power being made perfect in weakness. It's about suffering. And he says this in chapter 4. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And I think when you think about the Apostle Paul and what he went through as being someone who's imprisoned, shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, abandoned, hurt, and he's like, what does he call his troubles? Light and momentary. Because he has eyes that are bigger than what is current. And he sees suffering and difficulty and being uncomfortable as even something that would grow us into something better. And this quote I came across from Tim Keller, it's kind of a gut punch one, but he says this: an ounce of sin can harm us more than a ton of suffering. Sin can harden our hearts so we lose everything. But suffering, if handled rightly, can make us wiser, happier, and deeper. And there's kind of a perspective we have to change about what we pursue in life and what we try and avoid. And the life of a disciple is going to be one that's going to have comfort in it. There's great comfort in the gospel, but there's also great discomfort that Jesus calls us to. And it's not because God is sadistic and wants us to hurt, but because he does things through us as we suffer and as we long for him and as we struggle with our faith and as we surrender and as we repent and as we grow towards him, he grows us. He shapes us. He doesn't waste that pain. Jesus never promises that things will be easy. There's this twisted idea kind of linked with a prosperity gospel, this idea that God's greatest desire for you is to be rich, comfortable, and happy. And if you just do A, B, and C, if you just do these things, and if you have enough faith, then everything will be gravy, and it will be good, and you'll know God loves you. But the story of the scriptures and the example of pursuing and knowing Christ is different. We should expect to suffer, like Jesus did. And when that happens, we should look to him to be the one who will guide us. Because though he doesn't promise us easy life, he does promise his presence with us. He does promise to be faithful to us. He does promise to not waste that. And so we cling to him, we abide in him, we rest in him, we look to him to guide us through those things. And together, we work through the pains of life and the discomforts of life. And we open the scriptures and we allow them to disrupt us and let that bring us closer to God. There's no formulas you can count on to bring happiness in life, as hard as we try. But instead, we just cling to Jesus. It's not true that good things happen to good people all the time. The world is wonderful and it's terrible. It's beautiful and it's tragic. And as we journey through it, seeking to represent Jesus, we cling to him. I love this quote from Frederick Buechner, and I want to end with this. But he says this. He says, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Do not be afraid." I think that's a good word. Beautiful and terrible things will happen, but we stay close to the shepherd. Look for God to grow us and stretch us and keep us rooted deeply in him. And so those are three little pieces of advice to myself, to you, to our graduates. And that's it. I'm going to pray. And then worship team is going to come on up. We're going to also collect our morning offering as we sing this last song. So ushers, if you want to be ready for that, we'll stand and sing together. Let's stand as we pray and as the worship team comes up and the ushers get ready. And we will sing and pray. And then Samuel will read a benediction for us in just a moment. Almighty God, we just are so grateful for this community, that you invite us to know you and to love you and to be with you and to follow you forever. And Lord, I pray that we would be wholehearted disciples. I pray, God, that we would be people that don't expect comfort, but look to you, that we would allow you to shepherd and grow our hearts, Lord. Thank you that you go before us no matter where we go. And as our graduates head off to different areas and we don't know what paths you leave before us, I pray, God, that we would follow your leading, that we'd submit to you, and that we would be Jesus people in this world that you would be pleased with, Lord. So give us wisdom in that. Help us to encourage each other. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate with each other, mourn with each other, and we look to you to make sense of it all and to make us more like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.